Though quite transportable, the Brain Man was never made truly portable, and for excellent reasons. Anyone who walked around while totally immersed in a virtual world, even in familiar home surroundings, wouldn't survive for long. Although the Brain Man's potential for vicarious experience, especially erotic, thanks to the swiftly developing technology of hedonics, was recognized at once, its more serious applications were not neglected. Instant knowledge and skills became available through whole libraries of specialized memory modules, or memnochips. Most appealing of all, however, was the total diary, which allowed one to store and then relive precious moments of life, and even to re-edit them to bring them closer to the heart's desire. Thanks to her background in electronics, the Prophet Fatima Magdalene was the first to recognize the potential of the Brain Man for spreading the doctrines of Chrislam. She had, of course, precursors in the 20th century televangelists who had exploited the radio waves and the communications satellites, but the technology she could deploy was infinitely more powerful. Faith had always been more a matter of emotion than intellect, and the Brain Man could appeal directly to both. Sometime during the first decade of the 21st century, Ruby Goldenberg had made an important convert. One of the extremely wealthy but now burned out, in his 50s, pioneers of the computer revolution. She gave him a new reason to live and a challenge that once again inspired his imagination. On his part, he had the resources and, even more important, the personal contacts to meet that challenge. It was a very straightforward project to incorporate the three testaments of the latter-day Quran in electronic form, but that was merely the beginning, version 1.0, public. Next came the interactive edition, intended only for those who had shown a genuine interest in the faith and wished to proceed to the next step. However, version 2.0, restricted, could be copied so easily that millions of unauthorized modules were soon circulating, which was exactly what the Prophet intended. Version 3.0 was a different matter. It had copy protection and self-destructed after a single use. Infidels joked that it was classified most sacred, and there was endless speculation about its contents. It was known to contain virtual reality programs that gave previews of the Chrislamic paradise, but only from the outside looking in. It was rumored, but never confirmed, despite the inevitable exposés of disaffected apostates, that there was a top sacred version, presumably 4.0. This was supposed to operate through advanced Brain Man units and to be neurologically encrypted, so that only the individual for which it was designed could receive it. Use by any unauthorized person would result in permanent mental damage, perhaps even insanity. Whatever technological aids Chrislam employed, the time was ripe for a new religion, embodying the best elements of two ancient ones, with more than a touch of an even older one, Buddhism. Yet the Prophet might never have succeeded without two other factors wholly beyond her control. The first was the so-called cold fusion revolution, which brought about the sudden end of the fossil fuel age and destroyed the economic base of the Muslim world for almost a generation, until Israeli chemists rebuilt it with the slogan, "Oil for food, not for fire." The second was the steady decline in the moral and intellectual status of Christianity, which had started, though few realized it for centuries, on October 31, 1517, when Martin Luther nailed his 95 Theses to the door of All Saints' Church. The process was continued by Copernicus, Galileo, Darwin, Freud, and culminated in the notorious Dead Sea Gate scandal when the final release of the long-hidden scrolls revealed that the Jesus of the Gospels was based on three, perhaps four, separate individuals. But the coup de grâce came from the Vatican itself.